That's not strictly true. I'm on the road to work, which, you know, it's not unvictorious, but it's not really, it's not really a win condition in that sort of scenario, you know. It's raining out here. Not super hard, but hard enough. I'm entering the final section of The Witness. It is difficult. I guess that's all I'll say about that, I guess. Marvel Heroes 2016 is out today. Fucking awesome truck. And awesome. Swerving into my fucking lane. And I think that's the... I think this is the update that adds controller support? I'm not 100% sure. When I launched Steam on my way out the door this morning, it started taking a 3-gig patch for that thing, and I think today's the day. It's been interesting seeing people say that, like, oh man, I hope, you know, with The Witness isn't one of those games that if I don't play it right when it comes out, like Fez, that I'm kind of missing out in the community discussion, zeitgeist, puzzle solving, like all that sort of stuff. It's not really that kind of game. Like, The Witness seems like it is best enjoyed in relative solitude and not like, let's go read a message board. Like, I was reading some thread. Some message board, so it was like, you know, there is Game Facts. I forget what it was, but it was like, you know, the it was a the whole thread devoted to The Witness, and it was just people, you know, they were, like, spoiler tagging some stuff, but it was just like, oh, what do I do with this? And then people answering them, and they go, okay. And it's like, well, what, like, that game is figuring that stuff out. If you're not figuring that stuff out, I don't think you would enjoy, or I don't think you would get anything out of the game. It's not that it's, like, a wrong way to play, but, like, you know, for the, you know, the transaction of, you know, hey, I'm going to spend this money on this thing, this is what it gives me in return, like, the part where you figure out what it's asking you to do is the thing. It's actually, like, now that I'm at the, you know, nearing the end of the game, like, a lot of the stuff I'm seeing is stuff that I already know what it's telling me to do. I just have to figure it out. You know, it's like, oh, okay, well, here's, you know, I know what this piece means, I know what this piece means, I know what this piece means. I just need to figure out what, you know, what line solves all of these rules. And it's a little less interesting than the earlier parts of the game where you're like, okay, I'm encountering this thing and I have no idea what this means. And okay, now I'm figuring it out and oh, this feels awesome. Like, that's, to me, the best part of that game. It's weird. But, you know, whatever. Like, but that said, like, if people get stuck, you know, it's like, whatever, talk to friends, do some stuff, ask, you know, for help. But it seemed like people were just, like, anytime they encountered something that they didn't immediately solve, they were just running to this message board thread going, what about this one? And then people going, like, do this. And they go, okay. And then 5 minutes later, what's about this next puzzle? I don't know about this one. Like, all right, well, seems like a weird way to play that game, but do your thing. By all means, do your thing. But, like, that was the, you know, the as I was kind of clearing out the last area last night, the one area I had not kind of done the main thing in. There's still scattered puzzles here and there throughout the world that I have not addressed, but by and large, I've done it. I just need to finish the game. It's definitely, like, a little bit of fatigue associated with, like, okay, well, I know exactly what all these symbols mean, and I just need to sit here and stare at it until I can kind of piece together the solution. And that wasn't as fun. Like, now that more and more of the mystery of that game is falling away, because I've, you know, seen so much of it, I'm trying to decide how I should make my way through San Francisco today. Like, if there are route adjustments I should make beyond what I've been doing these past couple of days. Because of the Super Bowl. Super Bowl is really fucking up San Francisco, despite the game not actually being played in San Francisco. They're setting up fucking Super Bowl City. Bunch of bullshit. Friday, so hopefully that means there'll be a little less traffic on the freeway. That'd be nice. I shouldn't say that. I'm really just fucking jinxing it. Shots aren't as effective in the division as you'd hoped. Yeah, it's kind of not that kind of game, I guess, right? It's, with its role-playing game stuff, it's more about crits than kills, right? I hope that game's good. That beta left a pretty good impression, the hour or so there that I played. See how it looks on PC. I downloaded that, the PC version of that thing, that beta. Maybe I'll take a look at that this weekend, see how it runs. I feel like it's not going to be long now before I need to get a new CPU for my PC, and I guess a motherboard at that point, and I guess RAM at that point, too. That's going to be my weak link for the Oculus setting, the recommended settings. I mean, let's see how that actually manifests. If an underpowered CPU is a noticeable problem with the Rift or not, I wonder what that'll do. It's like, oh, we can't process the movement fast enough, and now it's super jerky. It's not a frame rate thing. It's a CPU, or what the actual deal is there. Because if it plays, you know, like, if there's no problem with the Oculus on an underpowered CPU, then I guess I'll be a little less inclined to upgrade, but at the same time, I'm ready. Ready for an upgrade. And I guess I'll just have to rip everything out of there, because I like my case a lot. Like that PC, it's, if you go back and watch, I guess I assume the video still exists, of Will building me a PC. All I've really done since then is get more RAM, more hard drives, and put a 980 in it. So it's pretty much that PC. It's like an i5 2500K. Which is perfectly capable of running most games just fine. But at the same time, I am doing more and more video compression and other stuff at home, stuff that would be a little more CPU bound, so it'd be nice to speed that process up. Like, most of my PC upgrades over the years have been driven by one specific thing. And it's usually not just this overall feeling of, like, ah, video games should run better. When I'm doing, like, major upgrades, like, graphics card, like, obviously, you know, whatever, but, like, CPU upgrades or just saying, like, fuck it, I'm buying a new PC and starting from scratch all over again. One time it was, shit, man, Mortal Kombat 3 would run a lot better in MAME if I had a faster PC in this thing. Faster CPU would be a big benefit to my MK3 frame rate. Use a GPU for compression. It's Handbrake doesn't do... I don't think it uses the NVIDIA encoding stuff. Or if it does, it's not actually as big a benefit as it seems like it should be. And I'm converting between formats a lot because I'm, you know, ripping my DVD collection and doing some other stuff with just some old video files I've had laying around for a while. Like, okay, we can put these in a better format. But yeah, Handbrake does not do... Is it NV Inc? Or is it CUDA? Or is it... whatever it is. I assume they'll get there eventually. But, I guess I'm going to need more USB 3 ports also for all that fucking Oculus Rift shit. Soon. Stuff's out pretty quick here. If you think about it, it's kind of crazy. At some point, the question becomes, like I start to think about, like, okay, well, what about the parts I'm taking out of that PC? So it'd be CPU, motherboard, RAM that would stick with it. Like, that's a computer at that point. So I've got two other PCs in my house that technically work, but I never run anything on them. One has Windows 7 on it. The other has Ubuntu on it, I think. But that one, that install got fucked up because I was trying to install whatever ATI drivers I needed and it just fucking went berserk. Also, that one's way older. So it's like I've got enough cases and hard drives and just shit around that I should probably take this existing CPU that I would be taking out of this machine and put it into something else. Like, maybe that would be a good Plex server. That I could just throw in a closet. That actually... Now that I think about it, that's actually not a bad idea. Probably just want to take... Well, at that point, I guess maybe I would buy a new case and put the new stuff in the new case and then yank the hard drives out of... Well, yeah, I guess get a new case, put the new CPU, motherboard, and RAM in there, throw the 980 in it. And then hard drives. I mean, I've got an SSD that I would definitely move over. And then... Right now I have 3 2-terabyte drives in my PC. Between MP3s and video and all this other stuff. It's just, that's where it's at. So maybe I would take 2 of those out of that PC and build a media PC around that 4 terabytes. But I also have, like, those other PCs have hard drives in them that are not small. I mean, they're small now, but, you know, it's like, they'd be great. There's a great OS drive in there somewhere, considering that wouldn't need to run on an SSD. Who cares if it's just a media machine? Well, that'll be a project someday, I guess. I do decide to do all that stuff. Actually, now that I think about it, I do have whatever... Well, that's not an SSD, never mind. I was going to say, I have whatever drive came out of the PS4. When I replaced that with an SSHD. But I think I might actually have a smaller SSD somewhere. Well, whatever. Like I said, that's a project. That's probably what I'll do. I'll probably get a new case, put new stuff in a new case, and use the old case as a media PC. That's well, yeah, we'll see. I like my case. It's quiet. Slightly overspend so I can maybe get one more year out of it than if I had. Quite a lot harder now. Let's do it. Let's go all the way. Phone lines are open. Let's go for broke. It's Friday. Take a couple of phone calls here before I get into bullshit city traffic and have to, like, think about driving. It's on that Tumblr page. It's on Jeff.zone, the phone number, if you're looking for it. That's right, yeah. See if anyone calls. I always assume no one will. Here we go. What, this button. Hello, you on air. Who is this? Who is this? Is hey, how's it going?
How you doing?
Doing all right.
Yeah, good. Return of the egg bomb. In a while.
Sorry, what was that? You were cutting out there for a sec.
I just did Return of the Yak Bomb. It's been a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. What's on your mind? What's going down?
I want to talk to you about advertising in video games.
Yeah.
So I work in marketing, and we do TV commercials all the time. And I call specifically because, this past week, we've had two, really interesting, really expensive new video game commercials come through, the Street Fighter V one and the Pokemon Super Bowl ad.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're sort of on the opposite end of the spectrum. Like, personally, I think that Street Fighter V is one of the greatest video game commercials of all time. And I think the Pokemon one, it was on the way of being there, and it fell off at the end because it's like, at the end, it's still like, oh, it's Pokemon, it's still Pokemon, so, you know, hey.
Sure.
But I wanted to get your feedback. Like, I mean, we come to this whole plateau of, like, people, when it comes to marketing video games, you get a whole bunch of stuff where it's like, we're going to show this 2-minute CG live-action trailer. We're not going to show any games. It's not really representative. You almost have to be in the know to understand what you're looking at. And it's like, do you think, like, what's your take on that? Like, do you think that's, like, acceptable at this point? Like, I harken back to, like, the best... Previously, the best ad I ever saw for video games, like the Skyrim ad, and there is zero gameplay in that Skyrim ad.
Right.
It's
all
live action.
I mean, I think that there's totally room for that. I mean, if you think about, like, what those campaigns are trying to do, it's just, like, building awareness that this thing exists at all. So, like, a mainstream audience that isn't following video games close enough to really know that, right?
Right. Yeah.
So, I think that, like, that's, you know, like, as initial exposure to a concept... I think that, you know, something like not having a lot of gameplay in a TV ad, I think is acceptable, because it's, you know, like what I think a lot of people are, you know, yeah, if you show them a ton of gameplay, they're going to go like, well, okay, wait, what am I looking at here, if it's not properly contextualized. But also, I haven't seen either of those ads. Like, it's the weird thing about not having television in my house anymore is like, or not that I was watching a ton of TV even when I did have it, but like that stuff is just like not even a factor, you know. It's just like I don't know what movies are coming out, I don't know what the fuck is even going on anymore. It's like kind of weirdly refreshing in this weird way of like, yeah, fuck all that shit. Like, it's how do people get information now as more and more people start to like move away from those kind of shared experience, kind of traditional like marketing targets or whatever, like places where they can be marketed to.
Sure.
So that's yeah. That's the larger concern, right? Is how do you actually reach the people more, as more and more people like kind of step away from those sorts of things, how do you start to reach people?
Yeah, it's weird because it's like a lot of people think the answer is pre-roll, and but that's like the same thing, and people spend, you know, almost no time blocking pre-roll these days. I don't know, it's a weird thing, and the question that we try to answer every day, but we don't really have I mean, yeah, I feel like it's a shifting spectrum every day.
Totally.
Like, the Pokemon one is specifically weird because it's like, they're not advertising a game. They're
right.
just advertising the concept of Pokemon.
Yeah, it's, and so they've been, yeah, they've been trying to do stuff around this anniversary for Pokemon just to kind of, I don't know what their goal is, to like to just remind people that this thing still exists and is still a big deal, like, hey, Pokemon is still huge or whatever, but like they've been, like they reached out and said like, hey, would you like to partner on some Pokemon content? Like maybe you could record yourselves talking about what Pokemon means to you. And I was like, no. That's okay, but thanks. Not really into being a part of your thing. That's a weird question in the first place. But anyway, it just seems like with that stuff, like kids are getting excited when the games are coming out, I assume, but like they probably just need to do a better job of reminding people who have like fallen away from Pokemon that, hey, this still exists and it's still a big deal. It's still cool in its own way. To care about Pokemon. That I assume that's what they're trying to accomplish. But yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. No, just for that thing. Not talking to you.
Yeah. Have a good have a good Friday.
Yeah, TJ, my man.
Yep, see ya. Yeah, I saw some people talking about that stream. I'll have to seek it out. I've heard good things. Florida, you're on the air. Ah.
Hi.
Hey.
Yeah, I've been actually looking at the sort of upcoming releases, at least the games I am personally interested in over the course of this year, and it seems like this year, unlike last year, was back-heavy. This year seems very front-heavy.
Yeah, I think a lot of games got pushed out of last year. You know, you saw a lot of delays into this year, and it's paying off a little bit earlier. Or I think it'll end up being a little better spread throughout the year. Because I think there's some stuff for Q4 and stuff that just hasn't been announced yet.
Yeah, I imagine, and I kind of hope so, but I'm lucky it's the next couple of months. And for me, I'm looking at XCOM 2 coming up really soon.
Yep.
I'm looking at Overwatch. I'm looking at, don't know if it'll be good or not, but No Man's Sky,
yep.
Deus Ex, Mankind Divided. That's all first half of this year.
Right, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think that's just one of those things that's just the weird back-end benefit of a delay is that, you know, you end up having a more rounded year, I suppose.
Yeah, and I also actually saw an article where apparently, unintentionally, EA leaked the amount of total Xbox One sold.
Ah. What was the number?
Yeah. 19 million.
Huh. Yeah, that...
I mean, still half the PS4, but not bad. I'm looking at this generation, and I really do think it's the fact that the last generation lasted so long that you're seeing such high sort of demand this time around.
Yeah, I think there's definitely, like, there are plenty of good reasons to move on. Even if the consoles don't seem like they're quite as powerful as the PC, like, there's still plenty of reason to move up now from 360 and PS3. Because that generation went on so long and really got tapped out in a lot of ways. Yeah, it's interesting. The 19 million sounds about right.
I will say this, like, and I've said this before, I have no interest in the console just because I'm playing my games on PC at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm looking like you, I'm looking at when I'm going to upgrade. I'm probably going to do it the back half of this year when NVIDIA announces their 10 series.
Yeah, I think that seems sensible. I think it's one of those things where choosing when to upgrade a PC is always really hard because, like, there's the next step is always around the corner.
Out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just figuring out when the best time to do it for the longest benefit, and I'm thinking the 10 series is probably the best time.
Sure. I mean, I'm already running a 980, so for me it just becomes like, well, what's Intel up to, and what's the CPU scene look like these days?
Yeah, pretty much it sounds from your case you need a new CPU, depending upon what you're doing. If it's just for games only, an i5 is where you probably should go. It's best cost, it's best price performance there.
Yeah.
If you're going to do a lot of video stuff, then an i7 starts becoming something you should consider.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm leaning, is just, you know, kind of... And just getting the most time out of it also. Just like, you know, how long are these CPUs going to be, you know? Because I've had this i5-2500 for a pretty long time now. So if I can get that many years out of a new CPU, then that'd be great.
Oh, yeah. This is sort of something people have to remember. Your CPU really, at least for games, doesn't matter all that much by comparison. You'll get way more time out of your CPU than you'll ever get out of your GPU.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So it's time for me on the CPU front, and that's just because, yeah, like, I'm doing more and more video stuff. I'm curious to see what I'm not going to upgrade until way after, you know, significantly after the Oculus Rift comes out. So I want to see what the Rift does with CPU, or if I can notice what is lacking if I'm hooking a Rift up to a machine that doesn't meet the CPU spec that they've put out. Like, what is it, just the tracking not going to be as good, or what, you know, like, is it going to lag? Am I going to get sick? Like, that sort of stuff.
I mean, your CPU, again, an i5-2500K is basically the equivalent to, with the exception of some instructions, that's the equivalent to what I have now, which is a 4430.
Yeah.
So I imagine you'd still be, and the ReadyTech says my CPU is capable of it, so I'd imagine it could still handle the rest.
Yeah, I'm figuring it's not going to be noticeable, and it's just one of those things where that's, you know, they wanted to over-recommend a little bit for their premium weird thing, and so they just kind of went out there with whatever CPU they went out there with. But yeah, I'm suspecting it'll be fine.
Yeah, if you're going to do more video stuff anyway, then the i7's not a bad go-to.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to do a lot of video stuff, the i5 is better price performance there.
Cool. All right. Well, yeah, I'm going to give that a look probably in 6 months or 4 or 5 months or something like that, hopefully. But we'll see when it works out. All right.
Yep.
Have a good day. Thanks for calling in. See ya. I have to take one more call here. I'm rolling through these city streets now. So I'll have to think more about the road. I wish that Google Voice would send... I wonder if I could turn off, like, a call waiting or something like that and stop Google Voice from forwarding calls to my phone here when I'm on a call. That'd be nice. Stop all that call waiting, beeping, and all that other stuff. Happens when we take these calls in bulk like this. All right, well, traffic's getting hairy. I'm gonna shut down the phone lines. Thanks to those couple of callers for calling. That's Street Fighter V Addish, really. I'll have to catch that. You know, there's a part of me that just wants to brave the traditional route and just sit in the traffic, because I feel like I'm not like, the amount of time I'm taking to drive out of my way around shit is not that much faster. And I miss the tunnel. I miss tunnel drinks. You know? Google Voice is US only. I'm not sure what you mean by that. If that means only people can call that number from the US, because the call waiting feature on Google Voice is based on the setting of the device. So if it's normally disabled on the device, it is also disabled for Google. Yeah, I mean the call waiting I'm getting is definitely like it's the call waiting from my phone, not from Google, and I wish I could bump it back a step to Google and have them handle like the what to do with multiple calls, because right now if I turned off call waiting on my phone, then all those calls would just get shunted to my phone's voicemail, and I would actually rather it get shunted to Google Voice's voicemail. Get one number and redirection for multiple. Yeah, that's US service. Yes. Yeah. How much PAX East stuff is going to be off-site? I don't know. It's not going to be. I don't think there'll be like a big club with multiple events like PAX Prime had. But I don't know. It hasn't really been discussed. Towards the tunnel now. This might be a mistake. Though I guess I could always just take... Maybe there's a hybrid route that would work here. Don't take Broadway all the way down to Battery, and I instead turn on, like, Powell Street or something. That way I don't get as close to the bullshit. You You know, maybe the Google Voice stuff would just be solved if I stopped using it and switched to Skype. I wonder how well Skype would work in an LTE environment. I've not tried iOS Skype in a very long time. Skype. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we used Skype to record that wrestling podcast. Line? Yeah, I could. You know, I installed Line at some point. I don't have it installed now, but I think at some point I totally did sign up for that. Doesn't Facebook have voice stuff now, too? I saw that Snapchat was looking to do video calling and stuff. Everything is everything. Well, I did not take my own cool advice and turn earlier. I forgot to do that, so... We are on Battery Street. Let's see how it goes. That's a lot of cars. Okay, great. Maybe I would have enough time to sign up for a new Skype account while sitting here in traffic. Google Voice over IP. I don't know that it... I think Google Voice calls only come in when forwarded to a phone number on mobile. I don't know if there's a... I have to dig into the app here, because there is a dialer in the Google Voice app, but... I think that dialer will, like, connect you, it will connect to your whatever phone number you have them set up for, and Yeah, I forget. Require a voice IP number free, but do you really want the hassle? I don't know. Yeah. I think on a PC you can dial out and in directly from Google Voice from the website. But I think this iOS app might be dependent on forwarding to a phone number. The Hangouts app. Oh, well, okay. Perhaps I will investigate a hot hangout sesh. I spent some time just there downloading the Google Hangouts app and logging into it. But I don't know how people would... I guess I would have to just give out whatever email address I've got for that account, right? And then people would have to add it as a contact and then invite me to a call to call. That doesn't... Voice calls just ring into the app. They can call the number directly. The same number? Settings. Install the Mumble app. I had Mumble installed for a while. I might still have it installed. I have Discord installed, which doesn't that just do the same thing but better these days? I installed Discord and then joined, like, whatever Discord session I saw on, like, the Giant Bomb boards, and then have never used it once for anything, so I don't know. Oh, yeah, that's just showing my phone number right there, isn't it? Use Ring Hangouts for incoming phone calls made to your Google Voice number. Show SMS and voicemail in Hangouts. Sure, why not? Well, I guess that's set up. Knows what that will do. Yes, you can text that number, but I will see it every 6 months or so, because I don't really spend a lot of time looking at the voicemail and texts that come into that number, so. But yes, invite me to your Mumble server. I don't know what I'll do. Nothing, probably. Maybe I would connect to that with my phone. I don't know. Do I still have... Looks like I do not have it installed. I did at one point. If I can get into this alley the right way this morning. I'm going to guess probably not. I'm going to have to go all the way around the block. But that actually wasn't a bad drive this morning. It wasn't, like, too bad getting through. Let's see. They got construction men standing here. Let's take a look. Nope. Gotta go around. I could have totally... Look at that. They had all the signs up saying road closed to through traffic, but at the same time, it looked like it was pretty much fine. fuckers. Oh, look at all those cars. This is unpleasant. Oh, man, fuck. Why are all those cars there? What? I spent all this time downloading Mumble, only to not be allowed to connect. And then I looked up and there were all these cars. What appears to be a tow truck. Well. This is probably still faster than the detours I was trying to take. There we go. It wouldn't let me have a space in my username.
The cops! The cops!
You're all under arrest. I don't actually know if I can speak. I don't know if this is pushed to talk or what.
This is all choppy. I can't even hear you.
Perfect. Yeah, That's perfect. That's exactly how this needs to sound. As broken as possible, because now there's two internet audio streams running out of this car.
Yeah, classic Mumble.
This is a good extra level of stupid.
Wow, there's a big delay, too.
Like, is Mixler faster than this? I assume it is.
Because I hear you through Mumble. I have to listen through Mixler, so this is not working super great. Brian, you're not even saying anything. Neither are you, Rain. Come on, this isn't a group chat. Just silence. Silence. Deafening.
It is most definitely a creep chat. All right, I'm going to disconnect from that because that's just going to burn data. at some point. All right, well, that's not going to be a good solution. Seems like it's just too choppy to use. Not on the road, yeah, not when I'm mobile. But this Hangout stuff should be configured? Again, I don't know what that'll do if people call the number. I don't know what'll happen. There's always that, what was it called? Voice, V-O-I-S. That thing that they showed at that LA Podfest thing that would let you do shows and put guests on stage. And, you know, for them to ask questions or whatever, but that's, it's like it's iOS only, and I still have that installed. It appears to have logged me out. And no one is using it. Just looked for the number of live spots, and it's like they still have a test one up, and yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, Google Voice is probably the best solution. I mean, you know, just getting voice data over the phone seems like still the most reliable method. Maybe Google Voice over IP would be fine, too. I'm guessing that their compression stuff is maybe a little bit more together than Mumble. I could be wrong. IRC-controlled Shoutcast server. Yeah, that's a perhaps wild solution. Oh, and then there are lanes closed here. That's why this is quadruple fucked. This guy's trying to cross the street. I'm gonna not run him over, but I'm also not gonna wait for him. I wonder why there's so much traffic right here. If it's just because this one lane is closed or what? Because this isn't... We're far enough away or in going in the direction away from all the Super Bowl bullshit right now that... Yes, Neo San Francisco. If they could burn the city to the ground and then build a dark techno city in its place. I would be all for it. Mixer's rolling out some new pro service, like a higher tier of premium or something, that it seems to be for people who want, like, a white-labeled player that they can host on their own domain or something. I'm not really sure what it is. I got an email saying, like, hey, you could sign up for this stuff. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm interested in giving you more money for something that would appear to have listener limits and stuff like that. But it seems like it's for people who want a hosted solution for this type of broadcasting, like on some other website, and they don't want to just use the embed. They want to not make it look like they're using someone else's service or something. I'm not really sure. We were using a service like that for video hosting for a brief period of time. In the early days. What the fuck was the name of that service? We're hosting our video. It was kind of a YouTube competitor at the time for just video hosting. Because YouTube still wasn't letting people put up videos that were longer than 10 minutes. Vingle? Vizzle? Vingle Vizzle. Viddler. Viddler? Vidler. Might have been Vidler. I remember at one point Sony asked us what we were using, and we told them, and then they started using it, and they used it longer than we were. We eventually, like, not long after that, I think we were like, oh man, fuck this. We have a better solution, but I think it was Vidler. If you're not logged in, YouTube videos now. You can, that's just the default. You can change it to whatever you want, and it'll store in a cookie, even if you're not logged in. Two-minute audio streams. I think, is it Audio Boo, which has since renamed itself to Audio Boom? I still have the Audio Boom app installed. I don't know what it does now. They've probably pivoted 9 times, and now it's like something completely different. But yes, it, Audio Boo was like Vine, but audio. And it didn't loop, I guess, but... Alright. I made much better time today than I have the past couple of days taking fucking weird bullshit back routes. This guy is standing in the way. He's all like, I'm a construction guy, I got a chain wallet. And I'm like, I need to park. And I could not have gone down the alley the other way from the looks of it. This is actually super fucked. All right. I gotta go. Everybody have a good Friday. See ya.